Tonight, security scare at the White House. A man scales the spiked fence and jumps onto the North Lawn. While steps away, President Obama and the First Family celebrated Thanksgiving inside. Terror raids. Police storm multiple locations in the hunt for Europe's most wanted man, who's been on the run since the Paris attacks, as envelopes of white powder trigger panic at a mosque. Trump outraged. The Republican frontrunner appears to mock a reporter with a disability who questioned Trump's 9/11 claims. The backlash is intense, but now it's Trump who says he wants an apology. And the rush is on. Retailers setting records today, launching a new Black Friday frenzy in your own home, even before those Thanksgiving celebrations wrap up. Nightly News begins now.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt. Substituting tonight, Kate Snow.
Good evening and happy Thanksgiving. On this holiday, another security scare at the White House as a man draped in an American flag was able to scale and jump the spiked fence before being stopped by the Secret Service, all while the First Family was gathered for Thanksgiving inside. The jumper made it over despite new security around the White House put in place just 5 months ago after a series of embarrassing security breaches. But clearly, it didn't deter this man. NBC White House correspondent Kristen Welker has late details.
Video captures the chaotic moment. The Secret Service took down this man who jumped over the White House fence today while the First Family celebrated Thanksgiving inside. The jumper, identified as Joseph Caputo, draped in an American flag, scaled the nearly 8-foot spiked fence, clenching papers in his mouth. Instagram footage shows tourists scattering, prompting the White House to go into lockdown mode for several hours while Secret Service combed the grounds. It has happened before, but this is the first person to make it over the fence since spikes were added to the top this summer. And it's one of the few times in recent history the entire First Family was home during a fence jumping incident.
Anytime someone successfully jumps the fence, there's no question there's a level of danger to the First Family. There's no question about that.
This all comes as the agency tries to rebound after a series of security lapses. A year ago, a man with a knife jumped the fence and made it all the way inside the executive mansion before he was tackled. And earlier this year, two agents drove through an active investigation outside the White House after a night of drinking. Veteran agent Joseph Clancy was brought in to fix the Secret Service, which is still struggling. Today's security scare, yet another reminder, the hurdles are steep.
It's a very big deal, and the Secret Service treats all of these incidents very seriously, whether the person is apprehended immediately or gets into the East Room.
Now, just moments ago, we were given the all clear. After being on lockdown for more than 3 hours, Secret Service officials searched longer than usual, in part because the jumper dropped something, possibly an envelope, according to one official. The suspect is being held and criminal charges are pending. Kate?
Kristen Welker at the White House tonight on this Thanksgiving as millions of Americans gather with their family and friends. Law enforcement authorities do remain on alert following the recent terror attacks overseas. Security tight at airports, shopping centers, and public celebrations, including the grandest of them all, Macy's Thanksgiving Parade. As NBC's Rahema Ellis tells us, police are out in force to ensure this holiday is a safe one.
On the streets of Manhattan, tradition on parade. Giant balloons, floats, and performances.
Anybody here for the first time?
Yeah!
You feel safe?
Yeah!
3.5 million spectators lined to the streets. Along the route, there were more police than ever before. 2,500 cops in all.
Were you afraid to come?
No.
Why not?
We have some of the finest police protecting us.
Several NYPD officers also marched in the parade. Next to the U.S. flag, they carried the French flag in a show of solidarity.
We all know that what terrorists try and do is intimidate. Well, the people in New York City are not intimidated.
The only known security incident, a man accused of flying a small drone. He was issued a summons. Nationwide, airports are on heightened alert. And in Atlanta, malls have beefed up security. For the first time, police can now tap into surveillance cameras live at some shopping centers. On this day of thanks, President Obama spent the morning calling troops. Roughly 10,000 Americans in uniform marked the holiday in Afghanistan.
It's really hard to be away from your family, but we're one big family here, so it's nice.
Across the country, people pause to give thanks and to give back. Volunteers in Washington, D.C. packed up meals for people too sick to cook for themselves.
This is what we do, right, gang?
And a holiday tradition that never gets old, newborn babies dressed like turkeys, giving their families an extra reason to be thankful. Tonight, security remains on high alert here in Times Square. Officials encouraging everyone to enjoy the holidays, but stay vigilant. Kate?
Love the turkey babies, Rahima. Thanks so much. Overseas, Belgian police stormed a number of locations today in the manhunt for a fugitive still wanted for those Paris terror attacks. And in Brussels, a hazmat scare led to a lockdown at the city's Grand Mosque. NBC's Keir Simmons is there.
More raids today and into the evening outside Brussels in the hunt for Europe's most wanted man, Salah Abdeslam, suspected of being part of the Paris terror cell, perhaps planning to join the suicide attacks, then backing out. Today a house was targeted, rented to one person, the owner said, but several mattresses were on the floor. There were police with machine guns and dogs, this witness said. Salah was seen with another suspect, Mohamed Abrini, at a gas station prior to the Paris attacks. Elements of the investigation must remain confidential, the Belgian Prime Minister told his nation today, to make sure we can stop this threat. But in Brussels, the government unexpectedly lowered the threat level this afternoon. Another attack no longer considered imminent, but still a serious risk. Earlier, the city's Grand Mosque cordoned off after receiving envelopes of white powder.
Decontamination is written on the side of one of these units. The other says detection of explosives. The people who received it feared anthrax.
A frightening few hours as 11 people underwent emergency treatment. Tests later showed the powder was flour. Separately, two men were arrested at a mosque in Germany, accused of planning still more attacks. Well over 1,000 raids have been carried out across Europe. Weapons and money seized. The mastermind of the Paris massacre killed. Still tonight, the search for suspects goes on.
And those raids today were carried out in the town of Overlay here outside Brussels. Meanwhile, tonight, another raid is underway in a town an hour from here. Local media have been asked to restrict reports of that operation until it's over. Kate?
A lot of movement there tonight. Keir Simmons, thanks for tracking it all. In Mali, special forces have arrested two more suspects in connection with the terror attack there on an American-owned hotel. That's in addition to the two attackers killed during the siege last Friday. Armed men held 170 people hostage and killed 20, including one American. A group linked to Al-Qaeda has claimed responsibility for that attack. Tonight, Donald Trump is taking a lot of heat for something he did at a rally in South Carolina. The Republican frontrunner appearing to make fun of a reporter's disability. But as Hallie Jackson reports, Trump is now the one who says he deserves an apology.
Donald Trump under fire today for seeming to mock a reporter's physical disability.
I don't know what I said. I don't remember.
The reporter, Serge Kovaleski, works for the New York Times and has a congenital joint condition. Trump was referring to a 2001 story written by Kovaleski after September 11th, which said authorities detained and questioned a number of people who were allegedly seen celebrating the attacks.
The poor guy, you got to see this guy. I don't know what I said. I don't remember. He's going like, I don't remember. Maybe that's what I said.
This week, Kovaleski said his article does not back up Trump's widely debunked claim that thousands of New Jersey Muslims cheered 9/11. Trump's tirade triggering a Twitter backlash, a new low, disqualifying. The New York Times writing, "We're outraged that he would ridicule the physical appearance of one of our reporters." Critics argue Trump crossed a line. Others wonder whether, for him, a line even exists.
He still has a pretty hardcore base at this point to whom, to date, he's said nothing that's offensive.
Trump, demanding an apology, is now taking aim at the Times and the reporter today. He should stop using his disability to grandstand and get back to a paper that is rapidly going down the tubes. adding in a statement, if Mr. Kovaleski is handicapped, I would not know because I do not know what he looks like. Advocates for people with disabilities not pleased by Trump's remarks, quote, it is unacceptable for a child to mock another child's disability on the playground, never mind a presidential candidate mocking someone's disability. Kovaleski says it doesn't surprise him that Trump would, quote, do something this low rent given his track record. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Washington.
There's new evidence in the police shooting that has sparked days of protest in Chicago. More dash cam videos just released add some details about the events surrounding the moment an officer gunned down a teenager. But more questions are being raised, as our John Yang explains, over why these tapes can be seen but not heard.
A new tape from indicted officer Jason Van Dyke's car shows him pursuing 17-year-old Laquan McDonald through a Burger King parking lot, over a sidewalk, and into the street. Another tape from a car arriving after Van Dyke shot McDonald 16 times shows no officers checking on him. Van Dyke's attorney says he acted in self-defense. Officials have now released video from five of the at least eight police cars at the scene. None includes officers' voices. Police can't explain why not. An attorney for the McDonald family says it's happened before.
In my experience, I've never had a case with an audio recording.
Today, the chorus of voices grew, calling for the ouster of Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy and Prosecutor Anita Alvarez.
Everybody involved in this is wrong.
Bishop Larry Trotter asked why it took 13 months for the policeman to be charged.
Officer Van Dyke was just as guilty last year, October, as he was yesterday.
For the second straight night Wednesday, hundreds of protesters marched through downtown. A small group tore lights off the Christmas tree in Millennium Park. There were four arrests. Today, police said they will support peaceful demonstrations, but absolutely will not condone illegal behavior. Tomorrow, that could be put to the test right here on Chicago's Michigan Avenue. A group of clergy, including the Reverend Jesse Jackson, want to shut down Black Friday shopping on this street, and the police presence is likely to be very heavy. All days off have been canceled. Kate?
John Yang in Chicago, thanks. A dangerous mix of snow, sleet, and flooding is hitting several states tonight. And as NBC national correspondent Miguel Almaguer explains, this nasty system could hammer a large swath of the country, just as so many are heading home after Thanksgiving.
Tonight, there's reason to be grateful if you're indoors. For much of the country, the forecast, in a word, messy. In Northern California, erratic winds tore across an open market. An ugly start to the holiday, 11 treated for minor injuries. In the Sierras, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, a treat for skiers.
It's already a lot better this year. Hopefully it just keeps snowing.
20 inches of snow in parts of California where it's needed. Nearly a foot in Oregon, with more on the way. In Spokane, Washington, where hurricane-force winds blasted across the region last week, thousands are spending Thanksgiving in the dark. No holiday for crews working around the clock to restore power. The storm on the move. Snow, sleet, ice set to blast the middle of the country.
Freezing rain will continue to expand into Texas tonight through Saturday, making conditions dangerous for about a million people. But 15 million people will see the effects of tropical-like downpours from the Great Lakes down through Texas through the weekend.
Tonight, there's reason to be thankful, but millions will still need to get back home in the days ahead. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
Still ahead tonight, the Dash for Deals. Online Black Friday sales already breaking records. We'll tell you why your phone may save you the most this year. Well, we barely had time to put the leftovers in the fridge, but Black Friday is already upon us. This year, you can get amazing deals without ever setting foot in a store because Thanksgiving is the fastest growing online shopping day of the year. But as Olivia Stearns tells us, if you do brave the crowds this year, don't forget to bring your phone.
Several different ways now.
typing, swiping, and scrolling. Americans may be hunkered down at home, but stores are reaching out because they know we're online.
It's a day that we are connecting with family on social media. We're looking for recipes, looking for gift ideas, and retailers are right there where we are.
And the strategy is working. According to Adobe, e-commerce is stronger than ever. Americans will spend nearly $2 billion online just today. That's roughly 20% more than they did last year. The biggest sellers, electronics, including TVs, game consoles, and headphones.
We're seeing some of the best deals are only available to people who like a company, you know, on Facebook, or who follow their Twitter feeds, become members of a loyalty program.
That means you can often find the best prices by following a brand online and downloading their app. For tech-savvy teens, this is already part of their routine.
So, do you use the app when you're in the store?
I go on, like, the Urban Outfitters app and, like, what they post on Instagram and stuff. And I just got 10% off my purchase there.
Now that stores are opening tonight...
Got my Spider-Man. Now I'm off to go get my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles headphones.
The rush is on. But if you do want to go to the store to shop...
Check it out, guys!
Don't leave your phone at home.
And, Kate, I'm at a Target in New Jersey, one of many retailers trying out new technology this year that will actually push you special deals if you download the app. This one opened less than an hour. Already thousands of shoppers here, many of them right now making their way to the checkout with very large flat screens in their cart.
All right, Olivia, don't spend too much. We're back in a moment with new details on the story surrounding the baby left in a manger at a church nativity scene. Several people have now come forward in the hopes of adopting a baby who was left in a nativity scene just outside Manhattan. The infant boy was found Monday wrapped in towels and placed in a manger inside a church in Queens. Police say surveillance video shows the mother carrying the baby into a store minutes before she abandoned him, but authorities say because she followed the spirit of the state's safe haven law, the mother will not be charged. Pope Francis inspired hundreds of thousands to gather to hear his message today in Kenya, despite pouring rain. But it's a trip that has raised serious concerns for the Pope's safety. NBC's Ann Thompson is traveling with the Pope.
Nairobi welcomed Pope Francis with the joy of faith. His first Mass on this trip celebrated in English.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
300,000 braving the rain and mud, some inspired by the Pope's most famous words, "Who am I to judge?"
Is that message important to you?
It's very important to me because it's opening up the doors for many people who would wish to be converted.
To Africa, Francis brings a message of reconciliation and peace, trying to build a bridge between Christians and Muslims. One sorely needed after Islamic militants executed 147 university students, most of them Christian, this past April.
Here in Kenya, still on edge from recent attacks, Pope Francis reiterated his call to never use God's name as justification for hatred or violence.
As always, Francis preached with actions, planting a tree to remind Africa to protect its rich biodiversity and warning it would be catastrophic if special interests block an agreement to reduce climate change at next week's meeting in Paris. A pope working to protect all God's creatures, especially the people. Ann Thompson, NBC News, Nairobi.
When we come back, Thanksgiving just wouldn't be the same without it. All the hard work that goes into bringing a holiday staple to your table. Finally tonight, no Thanksgiving feast would be complete without it. Americans have been dishing cranberry sauce onto their plates on this holiday for nearly a century. And as our Harry Smith tells us, the quest for the perfect cranberry has kept one family going for generations.
Not so far from Cape Cod, on a chilly fall morning, fifth-generation cranberry farmer Sue Gilmore knows the clock is ticking. Only so many days to get the crop in.
Cold days, cold nights, they'll turn red.
And that's how you get this.
That's how you get this beautiful color, the red.
When the cranberries are ripe, the bog is flooded, and a contraption only Rube Goldberg would love shakes the berries loose, and they float to the surface.
Until you come out and you actually see it, you don't realize what it's like.
What it's like is pretty as a picture. Just about as beautiful a harvest as there is. the berries get corralled, where they get slurped off the surface, soon headed to the juice aisle or a holiday dinner table.
It's really a proud moment. You know, for us, it's a legacy, and it's part of kind of the fabric of who we are.
Sue's brother-in-law, Kirby, says when the harvest is done, you can even catch your breath.
We work basically 7 days a week from the beginning of April all the way until the middle of November. After that, we only work 5 days a week.
Catch your breath and count your blessings.
The people before me, my ancestors took care of it, so I take care of it for them. It means a lot to me. Excuse me.
Harry Smith, NBC News, Rochester, Massachusetts.
What a great way to end on this Thanksgiving night. Thanks for being with us. I'm Kate Snow. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching. Good night and happy Thanksgiving.